Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by our proud title sponsor, NHL Sense Arena, the next generation of off-ice hockey training for players and goalies. Look, we know how much you invest in your children's hockey development, the early mornings, the travel, and let's not forget the expenses of training for hockey camps, private ice time, the general expenses of the season. It's a lot. But wouldn't it be great to bring that on-ice practice experience home that's fun, fits into your schedule, and that's affordable? If you said yes, which I'm sure you did, you've got to check out NHL Sense Arena. It's a top-tier virtual reality training game that brings the on-ice practice experience home so you can practice anytime and anywhere, literally. You can transform any part of your home into a virtual ice rink where you're getting unlimited access to over 100 drills, training plans from top coaches and players, weekly drill challenges, and more that focus on improving hockey sense and physical cognitive skills, starting at just $33 per month. That is a lot cheaper than an hour of ice time. The physical side of hockey gets a lot of attention, but we don't focus enough on the mental side of it. It's something we talk about on this show all the time. NHL Sense Arena provides an immersive solution for players to sharpen those skills when ice time is limited or not affordable and they want to get those extra reps in. So, for our listeners, NHL Sense Arena is offering an exclusive $50 off their annual plan. All you got to do is head over to their website, hockey.senseArena.com. Again, hockey.senseArena.com, and use our code HOCKEYNEVERSTOPS, and you'll level up your off-ice training by using NHL Sense Arena. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for supporting us and NHL Sense Arena. Enjoy this episode of Our Kids Play Hockey. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Our Kids Play Hockey, powered by NHL Sense Arena. In this episode today, we got a letter from a fan out in Norway, believe it or not, who's asking us about how to improve passing at the youth levels. And we have a lively discussion, even some disagreements in this episode. So I think you're really going to enjoy it because we all learned something in this episode about passing and how important that is. But it's also a great opportunity for you to understand that our title sponsor, NHL Sense Arena, actually has several drills built into the program. It's more than several that help your kid improve their passing in a virtual environment. I'm going to be sharing some of these drills in the coming months, kind of a drill of the month format that showcase exactly how within the virtual reality environment, it helps your kids build that on-ice awareness, the awareness of the puck, how to catch and receive a pass, but more importantly, how to look up and see the situation and scan the ice to find methods to pass to make them better in a game, better in a practice, better in a hockey environment in general. So again, just to remind you, all you got to do is head over to hockey.senseArena.com. Use our code HOCKEYNEVERSTOPS. We'll give you $50 off an annual subscription. I know VR can be taboo for some people out there right now. I got to tell you, I am so impressed with how immersive it is in this VR thing. I do not regret ever jumping into this system now. I completely wish I had something like this as a kid, and I understand you probably want your kids to earn something like this. I have worked with my son and my daughter to make sure that they're earning not just time on the system, but the system itself. But again, hockey.senseArena.com. Use the code HOCKEYNEVERSTOPS for $50 off your Sense Arena subscription for the year. I'm not going to lie to you, totally worth it. I know it seems like I'm obligated to say that because I'm on the podcast and they're the title sponsor, but when we partnered with them, and we waited to partner for a long time, we wanted it to be with somebody that we believed in. And I'm telling you that I believe in NHL Sense Arena for exactly the method I'm telling you today as a player. And we'll get into the goaltending stuff in the future with them. But with that said, let's dive into this episode of Our Kids Play Hockey, powered by NHL Sense Arena, all about passing today. Here we go. Hello, hockey friends and families around the world, and welcome back to another episode of Our Kids Play Hockey, powered by NHL Sense Arena. Today's topic is an important one. We have received a letter all the way from Stavanger, Norway. Mike, why don't you say it the correct way for the people in Norway?
Don't put me on the spot. My whole family over there. Well, I say Stavanger, so they forget about it. I get run out of town.
Yeah, yes, it's
I just go with Oslo. Easy.
There you
and
go.
I know where Sesmo is.
Guys,
you
know, yeah,
hey guys,
easy.
we got a letter from Norway.
Norway's the easiest route.
We got a letter from Norway today. Again, thus doubling down that we have a very large international audience. We want to say to everyone in the United States, Canada, and around the world, that's why we start the show with hello hockey friends and families around the world. Thank you for being loyal listeners. But this is a topic that I know as a coach, it's really particular for me. It's something that I try and work on with my kids. I know Mike has his own set of thoughts on this. And then Christy literally wrote a book about it. So great topic today. I'm going to read the letter here from Andreas. He says, "Hi, I'm Andreas, coach from Stavanger. I should say, coach from Norway. Excuse me, I'm doing it again. Love your podcast. I'm learning so much. I'm wondering, have you spoke about how to get the kids to pass? Any ideas that you have? How big of a problem is this if they don't do it up to age 10 years old? So common problem that, I shouldn't say problem, common thought, common question that I get a lot in the mite, in the squirt levels, and then beyond into peewee all the way through. So I'm going to start with this one by giving it to Mike Bonelli. Mike, passing in youth hockey, your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, listen, if you can take the puck and go score every time, then don't ever pass. Why? The goal is to win the game. The goal is to score. So if you can score at will and you could be a player that never has to move the puck to anybody, I say go for it. But eventually you will run into a wall. And if you are not equipped to work through those issues, then your career kind of dies when passing really does become the primary source of moving pucks from goal line to goal line. So again, if it all depends on how you set yourself up, but I've watched 10 U's and listen, I've watched 15 U kids at certain levels. They're probably playing in a group they shouldn't be playing with, can take the puck anywhere they want to go on the ice and score, win, score 8 goals a game. Heh, do it. I said, it's great.
Don't do it. Start young, learning how to pass, how to be a teammate. I do not condone this behavior.
The goal is to win. The goal is to win the game.
No,
I can't tell if he's being sarcastic or not.
A team. What is the team concept, Mike Bonelli? Explain what a team concept is.
Win.
It's all about winning. Win at all costs. At age 8.
Win the game.
That is set.
Mike,
you're
stinking up this podcast.
You are so stinking up this podcast. Let me just tell you something.
I'm just saying, listen, I'm around rinks every single day with 8 years. And they are winning. Why? Because a kid can take the puck from end to end, the thing over a 4-foot-tall goalie. It looks like a sock draw goal. And they win. And you know what? People are very, very happy about that. I see all the kids raise their hands. The coaches are victorious. And I just say, don't pass until you can't play without passing.
So now, let's teach selfishness.
No. We're teaching winners. We're teaching players.
You're teaching losers. I can't believe we are so far apart of this issue, which is why I wrote the book, The Puck Hog, because we had a kid like that on Sophia's team. He was amazing. They were 8 years old. He had the talent of a 12-year-old and the legs of a 12-year-old. And all he did was go up the ice and score. And you know what that did for the rest of the team? It divided them. It made them feel like they weren't part of anything special. They weren't even happy to win because they felt like they weren't a part of it. And the coaches loved this kid who could score, and the parents loved this kid who could score. And the kids never got a chance to really feel like they're a part of that specialness. So there, I said it.
But that kid, I'm sure and considering the fact that I probably read that book 25 to 30 times, you would think I would have learned from that. But the premise that I'm talking about is players will learn that at some point they cannot play hockey without moving the puck. And until coaches add those roadblocks in there for them early. A lot of times we have to, at the youth hockey level, create these environments for the kids. If you're going to play 3-on-3 cross ice hockey at the end of your squirt practice, and you're going to allow that player to be in an unconstrained environment, and you don't put constraint based learning in, that player just reinforces the fact that they think they could just go and not move the puck. So if you have a player that doesn't have to move the puck and score, if you allow them to do it, you will win. Maybe the kids are unhappy. Who cares? At the end of the day, your job is to get that one kid moving as far in the game as they can. Now, that kid probably played pro, right? I'm sure he went on to be a pro hockey player.
He went on to play college hockey.
Best player. Where is Mike Bonelli? Who are you? This is like an evil Mike Bonelli.
I know. It is the evil Mike Bonelli.
I'm just listen, I'm just saying there are kids that are better than other kids. So you know what? The fact is, then you need to take that player and teach them and put them in constraint-based environments to avoid to teach the end lesson, right? At the end of the day, the lesson is by moving the puck, you're a better teammate. You're a better team. You're going to be a better player. I work with 16-year-olds right now that still struggle with the fact that if you want to score down there, you need to make passes down here. And until you learn those things, and sometimes it takes a little, it takes that player just getting the freedom to go until they learn it. And you know,
really?
the sad part is
coaching and teaching the player how to learn it early on.
100%, 100%. But to your point, and the reason you were motivated to write the book is because there's coaches out there that are saying, "Well, I look pretty damn good here. This kid's scoring games, and we're winning 8-7. I haven't taught one lick of defense. I don't even know my goaltender's name is, but all I know is that kid. If I put him on the ice, he's scoring goals.
Yep. Yes.
And they allow them to do it. And my point is, if you have that child, and you want to feel great about your 8-year-old. Then go ahead. Just go ahead. Go score as many goals as you can, but you're not doing your kid any service. You're not doing
All right.
You're not doing your
teammate. I'm starting
the smelling salts. Yeah. Where are you?
I'm starting to get the sense of this New York sarcasm, Connecticut sarcasm here.
Not sarcasm. It's just there are kids that are better. Are you supposed to tell a kid to skate down the ice, circle around the zone a couple of times, walk through everyone and start looking for a pass and say
I don't think that's the situation we're talking if a kid gets a breakaway, you have a breakaway, right. You take the breakaway. I'm talking about, from my coaching experience at this age, the kid who goes on 1-on-4, 1-on-3 and tries to deke all three kids when his teammates are wide open and just doesn't get his or her head up.
Yeah, but does he? But my point is, if he gets through those four players,
he does.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable, but it rarely happens.
That's an elite athlete.
It's not. It's someone specialized in one or two skill sets. So, Mike, I do see where you're going here.
I know. I see where he's going to. But selflessness, sacrifice, all those beautiful lessons that hockey can teach our babies. I'm talking about the little ones, the mites and the squirts.
That wasn't the question. The question is not how do we build teams. The question is, what do we do when a player doesn't pass the puck? And the player doesn't pass the puck. Let him play until he has to pass the puck.
Well, guys,
that's when that player's career probably ends in checking.
Once
body contact comes in, it doesn't move that much further.
It only took 200 plus episodes for us to disagree on something. That's what I just realized.
Yeah, yeah. But wouldn't you take the opportunity when you see that gifted kid? And I'm grateful because, well, that first year where we had this kid on the team, the next year, the coach really knew how to coach and said, hey, I won't say his name, but when you see Sophia next to the net, instead of you taking the shot, pass it to her. And he did learn the importance of passing because he had the right coaching. Because everybody was encouraging him to do that. He didn't know any better. It's like, wow, we're winning games. Coach is putting me out there more than anybody. And, you know, when we're in the final minutes of the game, he pulls kids and puts me out there. So yes, it's all about developing that kid with the right coaching. So you do have an opportunity to rein them in. You just don't let them go and say, hey, that's beautiful. That's great. Go for it. You need to take the time to teach them why, the reasons behind, and how it makes the team stronger.
I watched a World Junior game with Connor Bedard in it. In the whole third period, the kid was on the ice every shift. He never got off the ice ever. This is basically the pinnacle of hockey. And there was 22 kids on that roster. And even my 9-year-old at the time was like, man, they're just going to keep putting him out there. I'm like, yeah, because he can stick handle around everyone and score. He's the best player on the ice. So at the end of the day, if you can do it, you are going to be exploited to do it. Now, do you think his teammates – I don't know. I'd love to interview that team and say, did you feel poorly that your teammate won the World Junior Hockey Championship for you because he took all your ice time? And maybe, and Lee could probably, you know, Lee, attest to this. There's a lot of kids on that ice who are like, yeah, it wasn't as enjoyable for me. It wasn't a real moment for me. Now, it was a moment for my country, and it was a moment, I guess, for the team. But it happens all the time. There are kids that are just better than other kids.
Big difference between worlds. And
whoa, Christy.
AU.
Allow the encyclopedia. Allow the hockey encyclopedia to step in here. All right. Mike, you brought up Connor Bedard, and I brought up his stats. I brought up his stats from the World Juniors in 2023. He had 23 points.
Right.
What do you think the breakdown was, goal to assist?
He probably had 18 assists.
He had 14 assists and 9 goals. So he was
but there were rebounds. There were rebounds. Look at it.
No way, man. Like, look.
Tell me if there are look-off passes.
We got to bring this back a little bit. We got to bring this back a little bit. All right. So because, Mike, I actually do I'm kind of in the middle between both of you, all right? I got you both yelling at each other. Now I'm sitting in the middle, and I'm going to try and put my arms out and do this because I agree with both of you. It's about cultivating talent, right? So to Mike's point, you should never inhibit a kid's talent. If a kid is talented, you develop the talent, right? Developing talent does not mean, in my opinion, throwing them out there, go score a goal, go score a goal, go score a goal every shift. Okay, it is being aware of the ice and understanding that if you aren't a breakaway and if you can go around these kids and you know, you have the opportunity to score one on the one with the goalie, I understand that situation. All right. But I've seen too many times that's not the situation. I've seen too many times the kids coming down, head down, teammates are open, no thought to pass. No awareness to pass. It's not always fair to the kids to say that they're not.
Yeah, they might not see pass, but nobody was open, coach. Well, you didn't look.
You didn't look, right? So that's part of the talent to cultivate.
Yeah.
So I think to start, again, to kind of just dissect this whole thing, 8U, 10U, you are going to have kids that are more talented. Now, look, I've watched a team with a very talented player who's a goal scorer, and they're not really winning, right? He's scoring, but they're not winning. And I think that when I watch these games a lot of times, it's not even just this one team. I've seen this all over the place. It's because there's not an understanding from the on-ice awareness of, look, we have to, as you say, Mike, move the puck. All right? It's the fastest moving thing on the ice. So I think to answer the question of Andreas, at 8U, 10U, it is my greatest hope as a coach that I can teach awareness on the ice. So I'm going to say it again, Mike. If a kid has a scoring opportunity, I am not saying that kid should give up that scoring opportunity. Right? Even if it's 2-on-1 or 2-on-0, if that kid thinks they can score, they got to do what they got to do. I feel the same way at the elite levels, right? You make that decision. But if you're not aware that you're on a 2-on-1, you're not aware that your teammate is standing right there. And this also goes both ways, all right? The other thing that really grinds my gears is when a player shoots and then there's another player in front of the net with a stick off the ice kind of going, well, what do I do when there's a rebound, right? So awareness goes beyond just the passer. But I do believe that if we're going to cultivate talent and make a complete player at practices, at games, there needs to be discussions of, look, this player is open. There was an opportunity here for you to move the puck to better the team, right, in this situation. I think it's insanely important that we teach passing. I hear too often, and again, it's just natural for children to do this, only about goals, 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 goals are all that matter, when we know points and goals are worth the same amount, right? So I think that it's on the coaching staff and the parents, to be fair, to cultivate an environment where kids understand getting an assist is a big deal. It is not nothing. I understand the glory of scoring, but when you get an assist, it's a big deal. I had a kid the other week on a Mike team assist on his teammate's first goal ever, right? And we celebrated them both equally because he contributed to her first goal ever, right? And I'm hoping that memory is going to stay with him of the importance of this. Now, I'll also say this too, Mike, to kind of not contradict you or anything like that, but to kind of support, I guess, what you said later is if we do not teach passing, or if your kid is not learning how to pass, it will catch up with them. All right? Because I'll tell you right now that when I coach, especially those middle levels, that Bantam midget level, I'm looking for playmakers. I'm looking for kids that can separate. The goal scorers are always going to be goal scorers, right? But I need players that can pass to that person. So if we're not cultivating that, I don't know what the hell we're doing, right? Across the board from a team standpoint.
So think about your coaching, right? Think about, and especially all you folks that are listening to this podcast, that or watch it or whatever they do you use this and then you go back to, and your kids are all doing private lessons, one-on-one lessons,
right?
Ask yourself this, because I've watched this and I've done my own little internal studies on this. when you watch a private lesson and you watch one-on-one or two-on-ones or small group lessons, they always end the drill with a shot on goal. Always. Right. And I'm like, you get four shots on net a game in night hockey, in squirt hockey, in peewee hockey. Why aren't these ending with plays? Why aren't these endings with head up? So we are cultivating a culture that if I can beat a deviator and then rip the puck on the net, then I'm going to be in a great shape. And I think if you look at my training rarely ends with shots on net. It always ends with a play, either a dump, a chip, a pass, a redirect, a look off, a little turn off, whatever it is. You need to create these environments in practice and in training, because if every drill you do ends on a shot on net, then you're not cultivating passing anyway. And you could do all the passing drills in the world. You could do 2-on-0s and 3-on, but that doesn't drive and cultivate passing, because at the end result is they keep shooting at the end.
Right.
We don't like think about, I mean, again, we're training to shoot and score, but we're also have to train and cultivate a place where the puck is going to go eventually so we can score. And
you
I don't
change
think
the win.
That.
You got to change what the win is at the end of the drill.
Yeah. I think that's super good. And I'll tell you, in USA Hockey's defense, in their wisdom in the last few years, I mean, this whole constraint-based learning environment that they're initiating with youth hockey players is really brilliant. It's just okay, you could do this, but then, if this is here, what do you do now? Oh, I don't know what I do now. I just used to shoot there. Well, right. What are you going to do here? Did you watch this Owen Tippett score the other day? This guy, you watch him come down. He does like a pushback spinorama and puts the backhand. D in a really backhand shot. But again, I'm like, oh my God, what a play. Yeah. But if you watch that guy, he probably did that a million times in practice.
Right.
And a lot of times that doesn't have to end with a shot. That could end with a look off, a pass. But the opportunity arose where the shot could be taken. But we don't give our kids enough options in practice. That everything doesn't
agree.
Just end in a shot.
Right.
Everything
I
has
100%
to end
agree.
In options. And maybe one of those options is to put the puck in a safe place. We don't even teach that. Like, we don't even teach the kids that it's okay.
Well, Mike, how about this? How about one of the biggest annoyances to me in youth hockey is just blue line management at both ends, right? Make the win getting the puck out of your zone.
No, but understand right? why. Right? I tell you right now, if you ask kids why,
yeah,
why is the blue line is in our game, the blue line is a barrier,
right?
Is something in our rule book that we need to learn how to use. It's not about just getting the puck out. It's about understanding that once the puck does cross this barrier,
other
team now has to reset in a different way than they would have if you would have lost the puck 10 feet inside that barrier. And I think once kids start understanding that the rules of the game are, you can then use those rules to help you understand why we chip, why we dump pucks, why we do indirects, why we do stretch passing. If the kids could learn, and this comes down to, Chrissy's point about coaching. If we're not coaching that, if we're not developing that talent in a kid to understand why moving the puck to this area benefits you. I get the most selfish players sometimes in the world. And I'm like, you want the puck? Then move it here, because you will get the puck more, actually. Like, you'll still get the puck and score.
Right.
I don't care about you being the goal scorer. I care about you putting, because going back to my initial conversation, if you could be the kid that scores every single goal on our team, you know what? We want to win. Yes, score every goal. But I'm going to help you get there by you need to do this, 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 and this. You can't just be this one-dimensional player, because once you do that, your game ends. Your game finishes. And Lee, you're looking up Connor Bedard's points, right? At some point, when he scored 197 goals as a 14-year-old, he needed to. I guarantee he didn't have that many assists. His assist to goal ratio wasn't great then, but he evolved and learned and started to see where does my game have to go
now? That is the point.
That everybody's good.
Right. Yeah. And that's really important for coaches to realize when you've got a gifted player that they eat up there, you see the talent, not to just, okay, I can always count on him, put him in, we're going to win the game, but help develop that. I love the way you described it, making sure they're not a one-dimensional player. That is so important. And I always liked the early on lacrosse rule when Sophia played lacrosse. There were some girls who could obviously run a lot quicker than others at that age of 8. And they had a three pass rule. They had to pass three times before they could take a shot at the net. I love that. It really helped the girls develop the concept of passing. It forced them to pass, even though they might have been open. Oh, we've got that rule. I have to pass. It was a great way to teach passing for young kids.
Right. But just again, this comes back to there's a nuance there, though. Like, you don't want kids forcing to make that third pass in a non-pass situation. Like, so you have to find ways. Like, I see kids all the time. Like, you got to make three. I coach lacrosse, you know, a lot. And we have these three pass rules all the time because there's some kids that they scoop the ball up, they run down the field.
Right.
But you have to create these environments. Now, the taboo is that you probably need to create these environments in non-game environments. Right. Like, you got to create them that the game doesn't have to look like the game.
Right.
Like, at 8 years old, 9 years old, and 10 years old, you don't have to have a game to teach these things. As a matter of fact, when you don't have a game, it's much easier to teach these things. When you have strategies and say, the reason we in lacrosse, we have a rule where we want that three pass rule, but we would form games where if you got to this area in these cones, we would put, right, or a crease, if you could get into the crease, then you're eligible for a pass. Now, why do you got to get in the crease? Because that's really where you need to be to support this other player. Right. Like, so it's not just a three pass rule.
It's
making the pass. Giving a learning environment that, okay, I'm wide open, I'm running down the field, and I'm supposed to stop and make a pass.
Right.
No, that's not the game. But the game is just like to Lee's point earlier. Listen, I get crazy with this with kids. Like, oh, coach, you mean you're telling me if I get a breakaway, I can't just go score? And it's hard because the kid that could do that does it all the time. So no, I don't want
I'm not against that. I want to say that, Mike. I'm not against that kid who gets the breakaway. But in my experience, I don't want to say it's rare that you have that kid, because I think every team has a kid that can do that. But I think the majority of teams that I've seen, they have a top scorer, but it's not every time they get the puck, they're gone. Right.
But you also don't want that kid to jump over the blue line seven times and then turn back around. I totally agree.
I think it's appropriate to teach the kids that if someone is in a scoring position and they are in a shooting position, they should shoot the puck. Right. I'm talking about the awareness of situation. Like I said, I have several teams in my mind where it's just, there's no awareness that a pass is possible. Right. And Mike, to your point, I think you're doing a great job for that description. I just want to say this, pay you a compliment. That description you just said about the blue line and how to teach the why behind the blue line, that was brilliant. I've actually never heard it explained that way before.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm going to save that clip and show it to my own team.
Yeah.
Right? Because it was so well done. And you bring it back to this, and I think now this is going to become the crux of the whole episode. And when I teach coaches, I always talk about this, but we're talking specifically about passing and drill making. It's the why behind the drill. This is where you lose kids when you don't give them the why, right? I can tell you right now, coaches listening and parents, if you tell those kids to do a drill, they will do it exactly as you tell them to do it,
right?
Because that is what they're trained to do. They go to school, do this. They go home, do this, right? But if they're not picking up the why, they will do it and never remember the reason for doing it. They're just doing it because you're telling them to do it. Now, Mike, to your point, it was beautiful the way you described that blue line and the rules as an advantage. Here is the why behind getting it over the blue line and how this can contribute to breaking it into the other zone, or probably more importantly, stopping the puck from coming back into our zone for a scoring chance. If you teach the kids the why we're passing on this drill, Mike, the lacrosse thing you said is also brilliant. Christy, you too. Why, when you enter this area, there's a high probability of a scoring chance from a pass. Now you are teaching awareness, and now you are teaching the game. And Mike, I do agree with you. If you have a prodigy on your team, look, I actually think there's ways to coach around a prodigy. If you have a kid that is so good at goal scoring, I don't think there's anything wrong with teaching the other kids how to support that kid, right? Mm-hmm. It, from a passing standpoint, from a breakout standpoint, but with the understanding of we all need to get better together. All right. I just think it's really important that we cultivate awareness from all players, mm-hmm. that it's very important to explain to players the value of passing, both passing and receiving, and awareness of the amount of times I see kids at the levels I'm coaching at, the younger levels, that get the puck and just whack it. Like, and I always say this, we're not playing ping pong. We want to maintain possession. And I explain the why behind that as well, right? The art of passing. And I think that if we're not putting that into our practice plans, and Mike, you are right, not every drill needs to end with a goal, right?
Not every hockey event or lacrosse event or whatever we're doing has to look like the event. Like that, and there's the crux, right? The parent looks and says, "This doesn't look like hockey. What the hell are we doing out here?" Well, and the kids are like, "Coach, I don't understand why this has anything to do with hockey." Like I have drills that kids look at like, doesn't even look like what a game would look like. Right. No, right. But the concepts I need you to learn are space and timing and indirectness and support and all these different things that you can do then as we walk out of the game that, you know, when I make a pass, I'm not a spectator now. I'm actually an active member of the next play. Right. And I think that's where, you know, we don't teach enough of all these kids. And again, number one, it's because our coaching, our youth coaching, resumes aren't great and they need to be better. We need better trainers and less stat guys and girls and less schedules. but the fact is when you can create training environments that just are fun and beneficial to giving the sport. And that's why people talk about immersion sports, right? That's why they talk about, you know, a kid that's a hockey player learning how to play basketball and soccer and lacrosse, because in theory, those should help those kids understand space and time. But if we don't reinforce those things on the surface that we're playing, right, I could do all the basketball drills I want. If I can't be able to convert that to a hockey kid to understand, you know, what triangulation looks like and what support looks like and what back pressure looks like and what flow looks like and what, you know, waves of offense and defense look like. If I can't get parents, players, and other coaches to understand it, and we're in such a bad spot with our youth hockey world, because the only way people think we can learn these concepts is through games. And games are the one thing we can't teach anything because we can't manipulate the environment. So once you're playing a game against another Yahoo that has his leading goal scorer that can score 18 goals, it's my 8-goal scorer versus your 8-goal scorer. Let's see who the better, you know, who the better team is by who can manage that kid's ice time better. And I think that's where when we start playing all these games and you want to teach, you know, we want to teach passing and then forget about the fact that we haven't even talked about Europe, that kid's in an Olympic size rink with so much space and time that it's like skate on a pond for a 9-year-old. But again, when you dive into those environments, like those kids are playing, they're playing half ice hockey. They're playing, you know, their surface is shrunk. Even though we think it's bigger, it's really shrunk up until I think 13 years old actually now. Wow. So it's really just a matter of what our best way to teach passing is: A, keep them from playing in environments where you can't control, because then, to Christy's point, you can manipulate and teach that kid why passing is important and how it benefits them. I love that challenge. I love taking that kid that says, "Coach, I'm the best player on the ice." Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to put you in these situations where you're going to feel pretty small, and think, you know, and you can now if you can't do that and this kid still beats you, you're like, "All right, this kid's good." I mean, this kid's and then you take advantage of that. But I don't know. I just think it's an issue of saying, you know, what environment can we put these kids into to show them that passing will benefit them, their team, and the team win.
Right. And parents need to support that concept too. 100%. Because, you know, I've seen parents be the driving force behind the kid who doesn't know how to pass and doesn't want to pass. And the parent can also play a really important role along with a coach. They need that reinforcement at home too. Like, "Hey, you know, coach doesn't wants me to pass, but mom, dad, you're always telling me go there because I can do it. I should win the game for the kids." But so you need to also, as a parent, say, "Look at, you want to become a really good hockey player? You got to learn how to pass. You got to learn space. You got to learn awareness. You got to build that game IQ. And part of that is being a good passer as well." So that parental support is important too.
100% agree. This seems like a really funny moment to do this, but we do have to talk about NHL Sense Arena real quick, because there are so many drill sets within Sense Arena that, you know, teach the value of passing and receiving a pass and finding open ice. And I know that there are titles sponsored, everybody listening, but there is immense value there. So we're going to be doing drills of the week and drills of the month in the coming weeks, I should say, that will showcase that. So for those of you listening, just keep an eye out on our Facebook page, Our Kids Play Hockey, because we really want to show you the value of that system. I'm not going to dive into it too much here now, but there are ways to teach this. You know, Mike, a few weeks ago, I did a Playmakers clinic. I was asked to do a clinic, and I said I wanted to teach the value of passing. And you're inadvertently paying me a compliment, because we did a lot of drills where the win was a good pass, or understanding awareness of when to make a pass. And I really wanted to impress upon the kids that this is a skill set worth developing in addition to whatever you're great at, skating, shooting, right? Checking in some cases. I want them to have an awareness of this. And the way I ended the clinic, and follow me here, because it does kind of end with a goal at the end of the drill, but there's a higher purpose here, is I had middle school aged kids and elementary school aged kids out for this clinic. And what I told the kids at the end was, I made two teams. I split middle school and the elementary school kids into two separate teams, not elementary versus middle school, but two mixed teams. And I told the middle school kids, you are only allowed to pass. Only the elementary school kids can score a goal, right? So now what happens after this clinic is the elementary school kids are skating for position as hard as they can, because these middle school kids are bigger. And yeah, they want to score. But the win for the middle school kids suddenly was, I got to get a great pass to this younger kid who might not even be able to handle the pass, right? And man, Mike, when they connected on a pass, the whole crowd went nuts. Like the parents went nuts, the coaches went nuts. I only think one or two goals were scored, but it was clear that wasn't the point, right? The point was get open, skate hard, which is always a problem at these ages. Like I always say to parents, well, why don't they skate? They think they're skating because they're drifting and they're moving. So they think that they're skating, but they're not. Right. So suddenly every kid on the ice had to move. The middle school kids had to really put their heads up, because scoring is not an option for them, right? In this environment. Right. And I was just really happy with the way it ended, where we were celebrating good passing. And I think something was learned by both groups that day.
Right. So next week, when the coach dumps the pucks out at center ice, right, or in the zone, I want you as a parent to see how many kids pick a puck up and start ripping them off the glass in the net.
Right.
And then see how many kids find somebody on the ice and say, hey, let's skate around and make passes to each other. Let's see if we, I'm going to go backwards. You're going to go forward. I'm going to go backhand, forehand.
Yeah.
See, and nobody does it. Why? Because it's not ingrained in their culture. It's
I don't agree with you. I've seen kids do that. I've seen kids start
passing.
That's
great. If you have a kid that says it's going to say, hey, instead of me just going in the butterfly drill and ripping pucks, I'm going to find a teammate of mine, and my goal is to skate around and avoid everyone and make passes to each other.
Yeah, look, let's encourage that, Mike. I look, everybody listening, look, shooting is part of warmups, and a lot of it depends on how much time you have. But if you're not spending time in warmups working on that, I mean, look, the first thing I do after I stretch a lot and get myself ready, but even when I was playing, the first thing I do is I start doing a skating routine where I pass the puck off the boards and receive it back hard. That's my warm-up. That's my start. I will do that for several minutes before I even think about shooting a puck on net. Now, again, that's me. All right. Different people do different things. Sometimes players, you're right, go out there. We see it in the NHL and they just start ripping shots.
All right, but that's the NHL, and that's after
it's different. But they start passing too. Yeah.
You think about all these kids in the game. They get three shots a game, but they probably pass the puck 60 times. So what's the more important skill?
That's a good point.
Where is the skill? And then like me, I teach a lot. Like my biggest issue with kids passing is the passing, and then not being prepared to receive a pass anymore.
Right.
So staying low and keeping the stick on the ice and being active in the play. It's like, okay, I passed it. Hey, great job. And I'm out of the play now. And I think this is where all of that dance that's out there in moving the puck and supporting the play and moving the puck up ice and moving the puck back and moving the puck forward. I mean, I watch all these coaches do regroup drills over and over and over again. And I watch a game. I maybe once do I see a kid get caught up on the blue line, go back to the D and then up the ice and regroup again. I just never see it. And it's because kids just dump it in because it's safe. So how do we teach all that? Well, that all has to happen. Unfortunately, it has to happen at 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 years old.
I agree.
It can't be instituted at 17 years old.
Yeah, so. It's too late. It's too late if you're doing it at that age. Go ahead, Christy.
No, yeah. I'm just saying this is such good stuff. It's really good. I wish my kids had the opportunity to learn from both of you.
Thank you.
Those drills are I wish we had that when they were kids.
Sometimes... I think we take kids for granted and what they can receive, like cognitively, right? Like Mike, I love when you say, we don't say these things enough. They're out there, but it's like, yeah, you're right. 7 shots a game by one player would be excessive. Like, that's a lot of shots, but you're going to get a minimum of 7 pass opportunities a game, most likely. Right. So it's like, what is the more valuable skill? They're both valuable. Don't get me wrong for the people listening at home, but it's like, if you're not putting the onus on receiving and catching a pass, it's going to eventually create the scoring opportunity anyway. Right. I just, that boggles my mind. The other thing too is, and again, taking out the superstar prodigy aspect of this for a minute, I believe, and Mike, you can tell me if you disagree with this, Christy, you too. I believe that a great passing team at 8U, because 6U is very, very developmental still. I mean, they're all developmental, but if you have a great passing team at 8U and 10U, you are going to win a lot of games, just because I don't find that the opponents understand how to defend against a great passing team. Right. Yeah. And I should define this. A great passing team to me is a team that makes the attempt to move the puck down the ice, right, with the awareness of what they're doing. I'm not talking about the team that gets it and whacks it and you get lucky, right, because somebody might have been there. But when I think about scoring opportunities at the squirt level, I mean, if you have a passing team, just the way goaltenders move, you're going to get great shots on net, right? Mm-hmm. If you can move it across the front of net or even move it up to the defense. When you listen to the NHL, you hear it all the time, going north to south, east to west. So I think if you can, from a coaching standpoint, develop a team with that skill set as a team, the goal scoring will take care of itself a lot of the time, right?
It's Mike, the same. It's the same concept from Meeker to Skinner. The puck is faster than any player.
That's right.
Move the puck and you will be faster. Your team will be faster. Your players will be faster. Your reactions will be faster. Learn to move the puck and you will get those goals. And I will say, if you looked at the Edmonton Oilers right now.
Oh, yeah.
And you said, how many completed passes, and I don't mean like tape to tape, area passes, indirect passes, puck moving north, puck moving south, quickly back to north, transitional play. If you look at that and you look at their winning streak, I guarantee there's a correlation between accepted and given passes and completed area plays and not. The days of dumping the puck in and chipping it off the glass and getting rid of it as soon as possible are over.
Over.
And you need to move the puck. And the game is so fast that unless you learn how to receive and give passes, you can't play the game. It's just impossible. And I think if you're playing, you know, with your 8-year-olds in 1980 hockey, then you're just setting them up for some really, really, failure down the road.
Well,
100%. 100%.
I will close this episode on this. I'm reading Mark Messier's book right now called No One Wins Alone, ironically enough. And Mike, it's funny because both Edmonton Oilers today and Edmonton Oilers back in the year I'm going to talk about, 1988, were experiencing this problem. And Messier was talking about the 1988 season, 87-88, where Wayne Gretzky had just been traded to the Kings. And he said the biggest mistake he made in that season, where they did not win the Stanley Cup. I don't even think they got out of the first round that year, right? This is 1980. I'm sorry, 1989. I apologize. The biggest problem with 1989 was, he said, he tried to do everything by himself. And he's writing in the book about how he felt the pressure of Gretzky not being there, and that he made this mistake if he tried to do everything by himself. And then the 1990 season, he understood that. He didn't do that. They won the Stanley Cup, right? So even he's the third now greatest player stat-wise in the NHL, is saying you cannot play this game at the highest level without understanding how to pass. Mike, you gave me a heart attack at the beginning of this episode. I'm not going to lie to you.
Me too.
I was really worried about where you were. I was like, where is it?
I wanted to go right through the screen.
I was like, yeah. I was just joking again. 200 plus episodes, we probably disagree. But I think we had a really great discussion here today. And a back and forth discussion, which is really the best way to do it. This is how we learn. And I want to shout out again, Andreas, who wrote this letter. We thrive on when you ask us these questions, because these are the discussions that really do need to be taking place at the arena, on the homes. Not about what team are you playing for next year? What team are you playing? No, these are the discussions we really need to be having about the development of our children and our teams and the development of our coaches, right? Like, we don't put enough onus on that, I think, as a hockey culture, that the coaches are learning too. They're mostly volunteers, right? They don't know what they don't know, right? And as a coach, you have to always be learning. You can never figure out that you just think you have it all done. But any final words before I close this up?
Nope, we are lifelong learners. That's so true.
Mike's smart enough not to say anything back to that, I think. Got a thumbs up there. All right, that's going to do it for this edition
and
of Our
Kids. Pick up the Puck Hog if you can. Read it to your kids.
We are going to give a shout out to the Puck Hog. You can find that book lots of different places, Christy. Yeah. But make sure you check out OurKidsPlayHockey.com. And again, all episodes available there. I want to give a quick thank you to all those of you that voted for us for Podcast of the Year. We're looking very good for that right now. We'll have those results in a few weeks. And again, if you're inclined, give us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, on wherever you listen to us. That's a really big way to help us out. But for Christy Casciato Burns and Mike Benelli, I'm Lee Elias. We'll see you on the next edition of Our Kids Play Hockey. Take care, everybody. We hope you enjoyed this edition of Our Kids Play Hockey. Make sure to like and subscribe right now if you found value wherever you're listening, whether it's a podcast network, a social media network, or our website, OurKidsPlayHockey.com. Also, make sure to check out our children's book, When Hockey Stops, at WhenHockeyStops.com. It's a book that helps children deal with adversity in the game and in life. We're very proud of it. But thanks so much for listening to this edition of Our Kids Play Hockey, and we'll see you on the next episode.